Acts chapter 10, if you would. Beginning at verse 1, we're going down to verse 35. Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, going to verse 35. Give me some good readers this morning. I'll only ask those who raise their hands. I won't pick on nobody. I've been known to do that. Brother Ernest, I'm sorry. You didn't raise your hand, but I got you anyway. Amen. 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 I want you to read from verse 1 to verse 16, please.
Acts 10, 1. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God.
Hold on, brother, hold on. Do you all hear what he just read? This Gentile that's despised among the Jews, an angel has appeared to him and called him by name.
Amen.
Did you catch that? By name. A Gentile that the Jews despise, an angel has seen him and called him by name. And then, brother, I'm going to let you finish in a minute.
All right.
He says, what you've been praying and what you've been given stands as a testimony before God right now.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Mm-hmm. What he gave, Brother Lay, it wasn't the money that he gave. What the Bible was saying, the intent that you gave, stands before God right now.
Amen.
Man looks at the outer appearance and God looks at the heart.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Okay. Tow up already.
Verse 5. Jesus. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, What God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven.
Colleague, can you finish that up for me? Everybody stay on your toes today because I might call on you. Amen.
Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiries for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask where Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason you are coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by the holy angel to send for you and to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea.
Mm-hmm.
Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or mm-hmm. to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. And so when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me." And Cornelius said, "Four days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord.'" Do you want me to keep reading?
Yes. 35. Read down 35.
So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God has shown no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is accepted to him."
Amen. 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 For a short title to some short words this morning: maturity brings salvation. Maturity brings salvation. Thanks, brother. Let me clue you in real quick. The disdain that the Jews have for the Gentiles was intense. If they would watch their food closely, and if it was prepared by a Gentile, they didn't want it. If they had cooking utensils that were handled by a Gentile, they didn't want to handle it. So they had a great disdain for the Gentiles. But I want to say to Trinity this morning, I don't want you all to have that disdain for those who are lost. I don't want you all to have that disdain for the homosexuals of the world and the liars and the cheaters and I don't want you to have that disdain, because God is saving people out of every situation. And it is now our business to discern where we need to go. Instead of the Jews proselytizing the Gentiles, they disdained them. In the midst of all that disdain, you have this one centurion, this Roman. And they were under Roman rule, but he was sensitive to God. And it's interesting that he was praying when he saw this angel. And he prayed regularly. A Gentile. That says, listen, your God is in the midst of working on both ends of a situation. Both ends. I don't care where you are. God is busy working on both ends. He's busy working on somebody that the Jews have cast out, number one. And the only way he can really, God hears prayers, is if the Holy Spirit has been working on Cornelius. He's working by the Spirit of God on Cornelius, and he's working over here on the other side. That back feel pretty good today. He's working on the other side on his boy, Peter. Listen now. Peter's the same one on the day of Pentecost. He stood up and preached that big sermon, and all those people came to Christ. And in your mind, you would think Peter's all right. He's ready to go. You know, he don't need no more help. But I tell you right now, we're all still learning. We're all disciples. We're still learning, and we're going to be learning until we see Jesus Christ. And if anybody here thinks that you're not learning anymore, you're in the wrong place. Listen to me. If you think you're all that in a bag of chips, God has a way of bringing you down. Did you hear me? You think you know something, but God's going to fix it for you. Because if we're still learning, Brother Ernest, we still got mountains to climb. We still got souls to tell about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. 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 Everybody got that? Brother Phil, can you read that for me?
Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
You know what? Listen, you all. I heard a person who is probably not saved, and they asked a question, Pastor, which is probably the same question everybody asks is not saved. They asked, what about the people over in the jungle? You know, what about the people who have never heard? What's going to happen with them? And my reply is the same as always. God sends somebody to whoever's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You don't have to worry about them. What about you? Don't worry about nobody else. How about you? Have you heard the gospel? Have you acknowledged the gospel? Now listen, Simon, the one who God, Simon Peter, the one who God has to work on, is in the house of a tanner. A tanner is one who kind of deals with dead things. And Jews are not supposed to be around people who deal with dead things because they're unclean. So what is this Pentecost preacher doing around a tanner with some dead stuff? I can see he's already starting to get broke down in some areas. Are you listening to me? What he thought he wouldn't do, it actually looks like he's doing now. God sends them boys to the house of this tanner. And it's interesting, man. From the text, it sounds like they stood outside the house and said, is there a Simon Peter up in here? Peter, and it's interesting, both issues happened when both people were praying. Peter's up on the rooftop praying, and he's hungry, and they fixing him something to eat. And he's praying, and the Bible says he falls into a trance. And a sheet rolls out of heaven, and all kind of things are on the sheet. Things that a Jew wouldn't mess around with or touch because it's unclean and it's common. It rolls out, and the Bible says, the Lord says, kill and eat. Peter says, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that because I never have done anything like that, because we're not supposed to do anything like that. And then the Lord says, don't you call anything common or unclean that I have called clean. And it's interesting that this Holy Ghost Pentecost preacher didn't quite catch a hold of that. Because the Bible says he was perplexed after it came down, and you had the things on it, and it kind of rolled up three times and come down three times, and you what is this? And at the door is the answer to the perplexing question. Three representatives from a Gentile that was sent by the Holy Ghost, according to the Bible, are coming to give you revelation on what it means. Now, it's amazing, you all. We need to get sensitive about listening to the Spirit of God. Because oftentimes, we're doing like this to the things that the Spirit of God are sending us. We kicking it to the curb. That ain't from God. How you know? Everything that rolls into your life only get into your life because God allows it. You better be careful. Peter gets the answer to his perplexing question. And he gets a shake-up. Peter gets a shake-up on the rooftop. God says to him, don't call anything common or unclean that I've called clean. He says, there are three men on the way, and the Bible says, I've sent them. God says, I've sent them. And he said, go down, meet them, and don't hesitate about going with them, because I sent them. That's why we have to be careful, you all, about what we're dismissing. Because God is sending people to us for a specific purpose, for salvation, and we're doing just what I did here. We're kicking it to the curb. I don't want to hit. Wait, listen, it takes me out of my comfort zone, number one. Because you're going to take me to a Gentile house, and I don't really want to go there. But you know what? That's why Jesus was always in trouble, Brother Lay. Because he was with tax collectors and wine bibbers, they call them. He's always with sinners. He can't be a holy man, really. The Bible says, Jesus says, this is my mission. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if that which is lost is found in the house of a tanner or in the house of a Gentile, I'm going. You can talk about me all you want to. I'm obeying God because all I want to hear when I get in front of him is, good and faithful servant. Y'all, I'm almost through, so don't nobody go to sleep. Peter gets to Cornelius. Cornelius is so elated that he's going to have a visit from this Pentecost preacher until he get his family and his friends. Come on up here, Archer. Come on up here. Caleb, come here. Listen, when he called Matthew the tax collector, He was another one of those that was despised by his own people. Jesus called him. He's so glad that salvation found him until he gathered all his tax collector friends. You're not a tax collector, not a brother. He got them together because what happens when you get the good news get on side of you, and you know if I was lost and Jesus found me, then they lost and Jesus can find them too. I'm gathering everybody with me so that in one shot, God can fix it up. Amen. One shot.
Amen. Amen.
So he gathered everybody together. And it's interesting. He said to Peter, now, since you're here and we're in the presence of God, what you gonna say now?
Well,
Peter spoke the word of life. And the Bible said that they believed. That's the basis of what's going on in the entire Bible. Believe. Go ahead, brother. Sister, thank you. Believe somebody getting saved. That's what it's about. My only reason for being here this morning with a jacked up back is to, if there's anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ, I've been sent by God this morning. Number one, the gospel is Adam fell. He ate the apple. He ate the apple. He plunged everybody into sin that was born after him. He was so messed up until we needed somebody to come outside of us and save us. God sent Jesus to be our propitiation, or to stand in our place. That's what happened. And if you accept him today, he's standing in your place. Yes, he is. That's why I'm here today, to tell you that he can save anybody. Just like he saved this Cornelius guy, he can save you. That's why I'm here today. If you don't know Jesus today, he can save you. And just like Cornelius, you can be free indeed. The Bible says, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. So, I made my trip to Caesarea. If you heard me, you didn't hear the voice of Billy. You heard the voice of God. I was wondering, why Jesus, this passage? Now I know. So someone would hear. Someone would hear today. They believed. They got saved. And it's interesting. Peter gets the idea that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. If we don't watch it, we will be respecters of people. If you're not economically on the same level, we don't really respect you, Pastor. If you don't dress quite right, we don't respect you because you're not on the same economic level. Jesus does not work like that. All the outcasts, that's who he came for. The Pharisees were on Jesus like white on rice. He said, I didn't come for the well. I came for the sick. And it's interestingly enough, they didn't know they were sick. They thought they were well because they had adhered to the law. They thought they adhered to the law. But I tell you what, it's a blessing. If you know Jesus, you're well now. You're whole. You're whole. God not finished his work, but continued his work on Peter. And as a result of that, Peter went to Caesarea, gave the gospel. People were saved. That's what it's about, you all. That's what it's about. Not playing church. I've been in some places and say, I'm ready to have church for real. Is somebody getting saved up in there? Is the gospel being preached there? You better be careful. You better be careful. Sin is deadly. It will deceive you. It'll make you like the Pharisees, think you're well when you're really sick. Peter said, it's unlawful to Cornelius. You know it's unlawful for me to be in the residence of a Jew. Really? Okay. Brother, maturity brings salvation. If you heard it today, come on to Jesus right now. Amen. Amen. Amen.